You're listening to DraftKings Network.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings. Why are you listening to this show? The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Mike Ryan wants this to be just the Titans-Bengals hour, and I think this will make us too sloppy as a show. And if we do Titans-Bengals here, it means we might not have enough time in the rest of the show to talk about all the other games the right way, Mike. I think we got to do Titans-Bengals last time remaining, Matt Damon in the green room with Jimmy Kimmel. Like, we might not ever get to Titans-Bengals.
You don't think that Mike Vrabel tanked that game just so he didn't have to cut off his penis?
Yep. His penis was the big winner, Dana.
All right, we'll get to the Bengals Titans later then, I guess.
I'm just asking you.
So 2019.
So if we've got 3 hours left to do, then maybe we do 1 hour on Saturday and then 1 hour on Rams Bucks and then another hour on Bills Chiefs and then we're covered for the weekend.
How the bleep do you win that game surrendering 9 sacks?
He's the first quarterback to win a game when being sacked 9 times, regular season or postseason, since 2000.
There is just,
it's insane.
There is, if you would have told me before the game the Bengals are going to get sacked 9 times, I would have stopped you mid-sentence and said, I'm going to put all my money on the Titans money line. If you say the Bengals aren't going to score over 20 points and surrender 9 sacks, I would have been like, I'll find someone else's money to put on this with me. I cannot believe the Bengals just flatly sold that
unless you say, well, Tannehill, 3 turnovers. Just know that Brady doesn't usually lose the games where the other team gives up 4 turnovers. That does not happen very often. I'm guessing it's probably never
happened.
That's
a different game, Dan. And a different day.
Different analysis.
Hour.
Different
on Saturday. Yeah.
Okay, so I've got to stay here. I'm going to have trouble with this.
Yeah. Yep, tighten up.
Winning offenses on Saturday produced 1 offensive touchdown and 13 sacks of their quarterback.
You want to do this Saturday? You want to just break? Because we can spend the whole hour on Aaron Rodgers. Could we not?
That's Saturday.
You can. Take it away.
You want to go for it?
Well, what else do you have?
Are you done with Titans-Bengals?
Well, I did not think Titans-Bengals was that interesting. Did you?
That's only because 3 more interesting games happened right after
it. Beyond what you just said.
I think it's plenty interesting because of the Derrick Henry situation, the Tannehill thing now. And maybe people, because of all the other football that happened, maybe people will forget to have the Ryan Tannehill conversation they're probably intended to.
He gets $38 million next year. He's their quarterback. Like, he got $11 million this year. He gets $38 million next year.
They played this game on the wrong weekend. Because if this game happened last weekend, it would have been the best game of the weekend. And it would have been like, holy crap, these playoffs are crazy. Every weekend, there's games that are going down to the wire. But this weekend, you're like, eh.
You do realize it's because of what Chris Cody was saying? The escalation. Last weekend was JV. This weekend was the pros. It's the escalation.
How does it get better, though?
It is the escalation. You're right about what you said. Yes, Bengals-Titans would have been hugely interesting if it had not been dwarfed. But wait a minute. They just might have ended Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. They could have just ended, be careful, Dan, I care about you, Tom Brady in Tampa.
Didn't happen, Dan.
They could. And then you watch the two quarterbacks be be amazing.
You had the 2-1 seeds in each conference on Saturday lose the game, yet Sunday was infinitely more interesting and entertaining. It's crazy. What a great weekend.
Well, also, the first game, the first batch of games didn't have offense in it, right? Like, that's not...
Yes.
10-7. It's actually a crappy...
Defense wins championships, Dan.
Green Bay, thank you, Stugatz, except special teams was what won the championship at the end at the end of Saturday.
We did have a kicker calling his shot. It's kind of a Stugatz move because he did the thing where I don't think the news ever comes out that he said, hey, we're going to the AFC championship game. If, you know what I mean? If he misses the kick, that never gets out. So it's one of those things you call your shot and if you hit it, you look like a genius.
How about calling it on a 52-yard field goal, though? I mean, McPherson walking out there and telling Joe Burrow, hey, looks like we're headed to the AFC championship game.
Burrow's got a little Stugatz in him, though. Burrow does a lot of this, telling the stories of somebody told me such and such.
I love it.
Burrow's got like seven of them. Now, maybe all the Bengals are wandering around saying this stuff.
Joey franchise.
but Joe does feed the machine a little bit. He's been doing it since LSU, where everyone tells him what's going to happen after it's happened. So, are you believing that? Do you think it's true?
Yeah, I'm believing it.
Okay, because you want to believe it, correct?
Of course I do, yes.
You want, what else about that game was interesting? Because Foreman did look a lot quicker, and Derrick Henry was running with a metal plate in his foot and five screws. Five screws and a metal plate in his foot.
I think the shocking thing is that we were all surprised that that had an effect on Derrick Henry just because he's built up this reputation where it's just for 5 years, we're like, those SEC miles are going to catch up. All those touches are going to catch up. And yet he continued to defy logic that he enters, he's dropped into the starting lineup, same usage as he used to always get with a metal plate and foot in his foot. And we're like, why isn't he the same?
Why is he being stopped at fourth and goal on the goal line?
Why is this totally logical dip in form actually playing out before our eyes?
Do you guys find interesting at all in that game, for example? We can microscopically analyze a million things. But Vrabel gets a penalty after they score the first touchdown. Derrick Henry sweep on the left. It's 6-6. They're going to kick the extra point, make it 7-6. Penalty, they get a yard closer. They say, okay, a yard out, we'll just give it to Derrick Henry. We will get a yard. Mm-hmm. And that point ends up haunting them. You could do that in every one of those games one time and get totally different teams playing. That's how good those games were. Yes. All of them decided at the end. All of them decided by a bounce. You could do that. The math I just did, you could do to every game and get a different result than the one you have and have four different teams in the last batch of games.
But I think in the AFC, at least for me, we got the results that we wanted because I wanted to see Cincinnati and Kansas City play again. They just played a few weeks ago. The Bengals won that game. It was a great game. I think it was 34-31. And now we get a rematch of that game. Like, I didn't want to see Chiefs-Titans. I wanted to see Burrow versus Mahomes.
Can I do a little follow a curiosity here? I want to do a little test. The Titans defense got 9 sacks on Joe Burrow. Without touching your computers, Sugatz, close that window. Name a Titan defender. Name a Titan defender.
One defender? I got nothing for
you. Bud Dupree.
That's the only one that I can name entering that game was Bud Dupree. I mean, I don't know who had multiple sacks on that game, but a handful of players got their names called out in all the glory of a national audience sacking Joe Burrow.
You never heard of Jeff Simmons?
So no, Cortland Finnegan?
No, they do not.
Matthias Farley.
Javon Kearse.
The freak.
9 sacks because the Bengals,
Bullock is still there, right?
The Bengals can't block anybody. And a lot of people were pointing that out and saying, well, a lot of Dolphin fans were saying, well, look, this is that just won a playoff game with no offensive line help. I can't believe, and this is a different game, different hour, but I can't believe that the Bucs were able to overcome what they were able to overcome, 3 offensive linemen out and Aaron Donald being maximum Aaron Donald.
And Von Miller.
Wrong hour, though.
Is Haynesworth still there?
The Titans, I do think you think A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, you certainly didn't think Foreman. Before yesterday, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill,
A.J. Brown, that touchdown pass. That was the best throw from the worst quarterback we saw this weekend of football.
Garoppolo.
Garoppolo. It's just, I understand the notion that we're all our teams are JV teams because they're so limited. And then you see Jimmy Garoppolo with such a great team be yet again a game from the Super Bowl, you don't need the Joe Burrow and the Patrick Mahomes and the Josh Allens, but God, it would be really nice.
But you do, though. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo, in my personal record book, lost that game. Like, that's not a win for Jimmy Garoppolo. I was annoyed when they talked to him after the game, and he's, like, giving all the platitudes about a team win. He didn't do shit.
It's
like,
so great. It
about
really
the guy
is.
Who blocked the punts?
Yes, interview right. him. Interview yes. anybody else. Anybody else. I mean, I get you want to put his handsome face on camera. I get it. But, like, he didn't do anything. Like, you...
Wrong day, Chris. I'm going to need to shut you up.
He should have tweeted that after the game. Aaron Rodgers won that game in my personal record book. He should have done that. That would have been good.
That game was Saturday. You're good, Chris. It's a play on for me.
My bad.
Yeah.
I thought we were trying to do just Titans Bengals here. You guys are confusing
how
me.
How have we taken so long to bury Ryan Tannehill?
Yes.
We have gone on far too long.
Throw the weekend.
About Titans Bengals. I've been trying to tell you guys about Ryan Tannehill. You cannot try. Yeah, it's not tip passes.
Batted balls. That was a book on him. I did a song about batted balls.
You did.
I did. Find it.
But, I mean, that last interception, he's throwing into double coverage, and it gets batted in the air. Like, he was not going to lead the Tennessee Titans. He is not going to lead the Tennessee Titans That's to fair. A Super Bowl. They won a bunch of games this year. I still don't know how, by DVOA, one of the worst one seeds in the history of the sport, and somehow got to 12-5, got to a record where he's better than the Bills and the Chiefs, but you can't trust him. You can't trust Garoppolo. Fair. You need to find one of those guys. No one is thinking that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to lead them, although I'm not thinking that, at least.
He was Tannehill is not going to get you there. It. He was 2 years ago, he was sick. If the 49ers covered Tyreek Hill the way that every team has learned to cover him since, they don't convert the 3rd and 20 that they converted in that game. Otherwise, Jimmy Garoppolo's already got one championship and is now playing for a second. And when I said he was 4-1 in the 5 games, that's the loss. The loss is in the Super Bowl.
Wait, he beat Dak in Dallas. He beat Aaron in Green Bay.
He didn't beat Dak in Dallas. I know, but beat Dak in Dallas.
So you're not going to be shocked if they beat the Rams now. You can't be.
He was fine until he wasn't. In that game.
You don't trust him at all.
Did
in
just
big
enough.
Situations.
Yeah. Outside the numbers, I do not trust him. No. But he's better than Trey Lance. Clearly, if Trey Lance can't get on the field. So, look, it's not... I understand we all want to get excited about Burrow v. Mahomes, and you need one of those things. But we all got a chuckle out of a throwback image from just a couple of championship weekends ago where the four quarterbacks left were Tom Brady, Blake Bortles, Case Keenum, and Nick Foles. That was all that was standing in Tom Brady's way of a title, and he couldn't overcome it.
Oh, but Mike, we've been having a version of this conversation through Joe Flacco being elite and everything else that dates back to people pointing to the outlier of, well, you can win one with Trent Dilfer because they had a historically great defense in Baltimore. We've been doing that for a while. I would say that this is not coming off the mountain with tablets, but your quarterback's good. All you're doing is increasing all your probabilities, Mike. It doesn't mean you can't do it with an average quarterback. It doesn't mean you can't shell game your way to a blocked punt and then all of a sudden Garoppolo's good enough for a couple of games. But you just improve your odds. I'd like to see Shanahan have, you know, when he had Matt Ryan, he was up 28-3 in the Super Bowl on the Patriots. Like, I've not seen yet.
You want to see him with a real quarterback?
I've not seen Shanahan with Aaron Rodgers.
You'll see it next year.
I haven't seen that yet.
Well, you saw it with Matt Ryan and he won the MVP, as you guys alluded
to.
No,
with Aaron Rodgers is what I'm saying. One of these quarterbacks that we're talking about, the other level of quarterback that we're talking about, not one of the 15 best quarterbacks, but one of the best five.
If you can't beat him, join him type deal for Aaron Rodgers. Because there's two universal principles that we should all subscribe to. If the Titans are the number one seed in the AFC, they're losing in the divisional round. It always happens to them. And Aaron Rodgers will always lose to the San Francisco 49ers. And if there's a third one, is that this is not my key.
A lonely hotline waving in a tight window, staring at a pass that he just can't touch. If Ryan Tannehill just pump fakes, he'll be hitting stride. But the Texans D-line just had Aggie for lunch. And the screen pass just ain't working out.
and a double. So Ryan goes out and makes the plays the best way he knows how. Another Dolphins interception, a fumble.
Listen to me.
Been 12 years on Tannehill? Has it been 12 years trying to figure out, will you tolerate him being maximum Tannehill when you don't need him to at the 9-yard line with a screen pass? Because I just texted Whittingham as soon as that happened, just with PTSD, maximum Tannehill. You're at the goal line. Just go ahead and just throttle him right here. Just look, you're better. You're at home. You've had a bye week. You're sacking him 9 times. Just finish him. Finish him, goddammit. Tannehill, finish him. It's like, no. Now you're making the tackle again. Tannehill, I'm so tired. Are you making the tackle 30 yards away? Stop it.
I know you are all looking with all these elite quarterbacks with jealous envy. Now, obviously, Cleveland has a quarterback situation, but that's not what I'm doing. Because I think if a healthy Baker Mayfield can compete, what I'm looking at with jealous rage is the kickers, particularly in the AFC North. Now I got to deal with McPherson's ass for another 2 decades.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm at the very tail end, hopefully, of Justin Tucker.
No, you're not.
You're scared of kickers. That's how scarred you are. You're scared of the kickers.
You're in the AFC. After those final 2 minutes, and your takeaway is kickers.
Yeah, I'm not worried about having to deal with Joe Burrow for the next 15 years.
Or Lamar Jackson, former NFL MVP.
I'm not worried about the quarterbacks. I'm worried about the kickers. As I come out there with Chase McLaughlin, and I'm trying to compete, and I can't get a 38-yarder. My butt is so tight anytime we try to attempt one of these, and McPherson's out here calling his shot before a 52-yard field goal. They're playing different math. It's not fair.
I mean, the Dolphins do have a good kicker, though, so that doesn't help that much if that's all you have.
Took a step back this season.
Took
a big step back.
He did?
Yeah. Big time regression. Oh.
This is the guy who never regresses, though, and really, if you want to get to the core kernel of Mike's rage here, is he's simply haunted by Justin Tucker. Like, it's great envy to have a cheat code where you just, okay, if you get close, you're going to get 3 points. Like, that's not what that I'm not trusting Randy Bullock to get me those points.
45 plus for most fan bases is this is a 50-50 proposition. For me, it is not something that you enter any sort of confidence in. And all the other teams in the AFC North can just have confidence about their guy trotting up to that because they just changed the math. They're so electric, and we all want to go for it on fourth down.
So electric.
They are. McPherson is an electric kicker.
No, he is. I will not allow this.
I will not abide by you ignoring his electricity. He is an electric kicker.
Joe Burrow said after the game, you know when you have yourself a good kicker. The way he carries himself, the way he stares at you, the way he walks around the facility. Like, he is here to play football.
All right, Guillermo, put it on the poll. Thank you, Stugatz.
That's what Joe Burrow said.
I don't think that video was doctored of him doing the bottle cap challenge at Florida.
Mm-hmm. How about Robbie Gould with a big kick?
At Lebatard Show, I just simply want to know if you're allowed to describe ever a kicker as electric.
Him 40 tries, Dan, but he absolutely spun the top off a Gatorade bottle at the UF practice facility. Google this. The precision that McPherson has is unfair. It's unfair, and it's as unique as Joe Burrow's talent. Once you have one of those, you do not let them go. You do not.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Libertard.
Let's go to 80.
His name is Bo.
Wow.
I think Billy typed an 8 instead of a B. Fine.
It's a clear as day, Bo.
All right, $2.
Stugatz.
Number 80. Wow, go ahead. It's Chris Corner on the line. CC, go ahead.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
I'm going to be skeptical, Billy, about that video of him spinning the top off of the gate. Like, there's no chance. There is no chance that he did that. Like, that, it just looks doctored. You watch the video, it's like, it's impossible that a human being could do this.
He was on Countdown before, and maybe this is a Stugatz move where he's given the detail of it took 40 tries, so maybe that is like all part of the scheme of this lie, but he said 40 tries, so I mean, he seemed honest.
See the raw video.
Mike, have you ever before today, and we're going to get accused of hyperventilating as a show and having prisoner of the moment, but have you ever before today described a kicker as electric?
Justin Tucker. And occasionally Chris Boswell kicking into the windy side of Hines.
Not electric. You've described those as people who you fear and you get rage-filled because it's not fair that...
It's not fair that they're so good at it and everyone else is so bad or inconsistent. They are automatic.
Talk to a Bears fan too, Dan. Every time Robbie Gould has made a kick in the last 6 years, Bears fans have been like crying to themselves, except for on Saturday when it knocked Aaron Rodgers out of the playoffs.
I believe at one point I described Caleb Sturgis as the greatest Dolphin place kicker in the history of the franchise
Let me hear your top five.
Really? You had him over Olindo Mare?
I had him over Olindo Mare.
Get out of here.
I had him over Flaude Reves. No. I had him over Garo Upremian.
No.
Yes. Garo, get out of here.
Yes. I had him as the greatest.
I don't know why I was doing it. He had that moment, but it was an embarrassing moment, so probably not. Mare's the best.
No, but
Stojanovic?
All of those guys, though. No, but this is what I'm saying. Just like all of the athletes have gotten bigger, stronger, faster.
Right.
Nothing has gotten better than that position. Like, there was a few years ago, people who study this stuff said that no position in sports had improved more from Garo Upremian's time to now in accuracy as the field goal kicker across sports. It was the greatest improvement. So I'm remembering through a child's eyes that I trusted Garo Upremian on those undefeated teams, or I trusted Pete Stojanovic on those teams, but none of those guys are as good as today's guys.
Did people even stretch back then? I feel like they just kind of walked out on the field and like tore their groin every time they had to make a kick.
None of the kickers then are better than the kickers now.
Not by percentage.
Mark Moseley was perfect and won an MVP for the Redskins.
And it was like 19 kicks or something, or what was it? 26 of 27 or something?
I think it was 18 of 18.
Yeah, but they were kicking with those shoes that like didn't even have toes and the balls. Like, it's totally different, Dan. If those kickers were kicking with today's technology, whew, good night.
Dan, Uwe Van Schaman, OLI.
Oh, my God.
But I'm guessing when I say Gary...
You're embarrassing yourself.
You don't understand. When I say Gary Upremian, I'm guessing that he made like 56% of his kicks because this... Go Google search Gary Upremian so you can see what this guy looks like. Back then...
I prefer not to.
Back then, we were getting...
Too soon.
Back then, we were getting kickers off of just a soccer field somewhere. He was a little guy. He might as well have run out there with a cigarette in his mouth. That's not what Justin Tucker is anymore. Hell, Jay Feely, Mike. Jay Feely introduced us to kickers wearing gloves and having biceps.
He introduced that was within the realm of possibility, that a kicker could just hit the gym with the rest of the guys. I never considered this before.
Jay Feely has also introduced us to kicking analysts. I enjoy that they go to him three times a game. It's like, it's a big kick. Jim, back to you.
Yeah. Tight windows, man. They're not giving Jay Feely more than nine seconds.
They don't want him to talk too much. They do not want... This is just like, let's go to a guy we're paying for his analysis, and that's what he gives you every once in a while. He's just like, big kick here, guys.
I actually think this is a different game, so allow me, but I'm following the Jay Feely path, and I have that tether. I thought CBS was actually kind of bad yesterday. They miss... Look, you have a special teams correspondent. You don't go to him on that snap and hold that low-key saved the season.
Wrong day.
No.
Dan!
I asked for the tether. I said I had the tether.
I don't know.
I asked for the tether. I cleared out. I asked for the tether.
Wrong day. You got to save that for later in the podcast.
I got
podcast.
A tether.
This is all.
I got the tether.
I told you we didn't have enough on. I told you we didn't have enough on Titans Bengals to do a full podcast segment on Titans Bengals.
You were probably right.
But we can.
We can. That's
do,
all I got.
We can do Whittingham's thing though of now moving over
to Saturday night
to Rush Lambeau. Heave Bannon, he was being called. Aaron Rodgers as a narrative swing. Because that game is only interesting if that happens. If Green Bay wins 10-7, not the same kind of interesting. Interesting of like, oh, wow, we're talking about a forever quarterback and his legacy is going to get stained by Skip Bayless is going to be able to go out there today and just say overrated, and do the quarterback analysis the way that you do it because he gave him another of a stinker. When Sugatz, what I would argue in this game, and again, I've got to say this because I swear to you, it's not a defense. I found myself enjoying the fact that somehow they botched it away, that organization at the very end fails him again.
Mosley was 20 of 21 that season. He won the MVP. He missed three extra points. How do you win an MVP when you miss three extra points?
How did Aaron fail them? Aaron, even after the game, said that he cost them the game.
Well, just the block kick. I mean, the special teams. The fact that nobody was going to... They score a touchdown on the first drive and then don't... Look, I don't want to defend him. He didn't play well. Didn't play well enough. I'd make the argument their home field advantage harms their quarterback. I'd make the argument that you take away his greatest advantages by making it the element when they get at home. That their greatest, but
it's cold in Kansas City,
but
man.
But not good enough. So guys, I'm just saying that
cold in Miami right
it's
now.
It's cold in Buffalo. I mean,
in a vacuum, freezing here right now.
Dan has been with this take for a long time, and in a vacuum, I get it. Yeah, I'd rather have my quarterback playing in a dome, but at the same time. That you have to toss that argument out the window when Jimmy Garoppolo is playing in 0 degree weather too in a game that visibly looks like it hurts. Yeah. Every time someone goes to the ground, they're getting up slow in that game. It's not just the physical nature of how the San Francisco 49ers play football. It's because of the cold.
You can simply tell me, hey, MVP quarterback, it can't be 10 points, and I don't have an argument. You win all arguments if it sounds at any point like I'm defending the play of Aaron Rodgers, okay? You get the winning argument today, not good enough. You're the MVP of the league. Both quarterbacks in that game had a chance at the end to make a game-winning drive, and it was Garoppolo who did it. It was not Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers also had the ball.
It's a great point. After the block punt, it seemed like the game was over. It was 10-10. It was a tie game. Aaron got the ball back, did nothing with it.
I will
nothing.
Win no arguments if it sounds to anyone like I'm saying MVP of the league, 10 points at home is good enough. It is not. He has underachieved as a winner indisputably. Because when you're that kind of good, you usually do a little bit better than one Super Bowl. I think they're the only team ever to win 39 games over a 3-year span and not make a Super Bowl. They have been really good for a long time, and he's been really good, and he's not in the playoffs. That's not up for dispute. His excellence is substandard at the playoffs and at home because they're not that good at home either. But I think that part of that is the year they won the Super Bowl, he went through domes on the road. There were no elements.
He did, yeah.
He just went, and he crushed everybody. He slaughtered everybody going through domes on the road where nobody was close. Went through Atlanta. It was just like, oh, okay, this is going to be easy for him, and it was.
It's easier for him when he's playing in warm weather. It's easier for him when he's playing in a dome. That goes without saying. But, Dan... He's the greatest quarterback I think many of us have ever seen. Allegedly. Some people will question it. You're asking that man, put up 14 points at home, and you advance on to the NFC Championship game. 14 points. I don't care how cold it is outside. That guy should be able to generate 14 points.
Let's be honest. The field is heated there. It's not that cold on the ground.
Is it possible that we can view him as being selfish and possibly a compiler during the regular season? Because if you know the playoffs are going to give you this challenge if you get home field advantage, don't get home field advantage. Maybe pull it back a little bit and give yourself an easier path to the Super Bowl.
Just do it for
not
for,
tanking.
For
not tanking.
No, no. He was tanking by playing at home.
Leadership. Yeah. That's what it's called. You know there's going to be a challenge if you play at home. Don't play at home. Or the NFL should just give you the option. Hey, where do you want to play? You're the best? Where do you want to play this week?
If that game's in San Francisco, I feel like the Packers win by 3 touchdowns.
Oh, well, they drag him pretty consistently, though. They dragged him there.
He's lost in San Francisco, too.
I know.
It is the universe laughing at Aaron Rodgers that this could, you can make an argument, this is one of the best teams he's ever had. And the dual thing of, oh, wait, ice and that San Francisco team. That San Francisco team that has dragged him. Like, we've seen him play very poorly against, recently, one of his better teams also didn't get anywhere near the Super Bowl because they had to go through San Francisco and lost both times. Lost to Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick was Colin Kaepernick's greatest playoff game, greatest football moment was against Green Bay. That franchise has devoured that dude. And I thought the most interesting part of it as a narrative, State Farm spokesman Stu Gatz, like, this is a real change in everything that Aaron Rodgers was that happened, what, 6 months? 6 months, Aaron Rodgers found himself this last weekend, I think, the majority of people listening to this were laughing at him.
Laughing at him and rooting against him, yeah.
Laughing at losing at home.
Yes.
Because he showed you more, right? A while ago, he and Mina Kimes did a profile because Aaron Rodgers did want America to see more of him. Aaron Rodgers was intent on showing more of his personality at that position than he had shown before. And there's no reason for Aaron Rodgers. I think he went to Mina's house. I think he went to her apartment because Aaron Rodgers was interested in you seeing a side of him. Holy shit, Stugatz. I mean, holy shit. the last 6 months, that can't feel good. Just energetically, the cosmos pressed on your neck, rooting for you to fail, laughing at you, laughing at what has to be a pretty good misery, right? Because he just had a hell of a season and it ends with the punctuation of laughter.
It can't feel good, but I mean, he brought it on himself, did he not?
Agreed.
With his ridiculous opinions about vaccines and lying to people.
I think he's vaulted to the top of American sports schadenfreude. Like, the athlete anywhere in America that fans wanted to root against.
Thank you for explaining.
Regardless of sport. Yes.
But it's not all of us. This needs to be said too, right? Because everyone accuses us of being an echo chamber. It's this show, but was that a loss for a lot of people? Were they hoping that he got to the Super Bowl and Boomer Esiason's secret mystery source text, a prank that he was going to sit out the Super Bowl and that Jordan Love should get ready?
Now he was, we'll never know.
Because there are plenty of people who were rooting for him, correct, as a freedom fighter on behalf of the unvaccinated, no? There were plenty of people, but yet to think of the State Farm salesman as that kind of polarizing is simply not something I could have imagined 6 months ago. I didn't have the capacity.
I'm sure State Farm didn't either.
I don't think anybody had him calling it the fake White House.
Jake from State Farm would be such a great quarterback. Don't you guys think?
He's jacked, by the way.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, I would have him start a playoff game. If I'm looking at the three people in the commercial, sometimes it's Jake, it's Patrick, and it's Aaron. I think I would have Jake number one or number two on who I would want quarterbacking my team in a playoff game.
I'd rather have him point guard my team than Chris Paul.
Ooh. Really?
Wow.
On appearance, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
You'd rather have him a quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo. That goes without saying.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, duh.
Right.
I'm going to look up Jake's athletic resume.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you on this.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Please do it as urgently as you can. But how did we... did we expire everything? All the takes that there are to be had on Bengals-Titans. Is everyone done? Because I feel like we may have aired because we have not gotten into some of the crazy-ass shit that happened on Sunday that involves the Tampa Bay Bucks, Stugatz, because that game was lunacy.
It really was. It was crazy. Just quickly on the Bengals, it's just, and we said it earlier this season where with three draft picks, they have changed their entire organization with Mixon, with Burrow, with Jamar Chase. I'm super excited. It's the matchup I wanted to see. I wanted to see Burrow versus Mahomes. I love when you have a young guy coming for the other guy's stuff, right? And so the
who's
AFC
also a young guy.
I know who's also a young guy.
But we just saw the young guy in Buffalo coming for the other guy's stuff.
We keep saying guy. It, but the AFC is so fascinating to me from this standpoint. When you have Patrick Mahomes and you have Justin Herbert, who didn't even make the playoffs, and you have Josh Allen and you have Joe Burrow, it's going to be so fun for so long in the AFC. I'm just excited for it.
People are going to take this as a slight, and I don't mean it as a slight. I happen to like this Bengals team, which is, I'm a Browns fan. That's hard for me to say. Even Joe Burrow would concede that he doesn't have the greatest arm strength, that he had to work on that this offseason. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how the Bengals win when they have one of the worst offensive lines in football, and he doesn't have this attribute that wows us. It is just he gets it done.
Are you underwhelmed by accuracy, though? Because I would say in the breakdowns that I have seen of throws that he's making and decision-making that he's doing, when you say you don't see stuff, looking off of receivers, going to second routes, throwing to places where he's throwing to automatically, because I'm telling you again, with bigger, stronger, faster, the level of precision that you are seeing in this sport has no precedent. The people being thrown to, the size of them, the quarterbacks, their accuracy, and the way they practice all week to be a machine that at the end of the games, even exhausted, could be great at offense. What you're seeing is a precision that has not been seen before in the sport. And Burrow specifically, Mike, when you're talking about the accuracy of it, do you feel like you have the eye to see if Burrow's as accurate as Breeze and has a little more arm strength, is that good enough? Because Breeze's arm strength was never the thing.
No. Yeah.
No, he just had the accuracy, and we'll continue to see Burrow. Maybe that's the attribute that sticks out to most. For me, and again, it's not a slight. If anything, I'm hyping him up because I think he's doing all of this in spite of having a bad offensive line and not a real single all-world elite attribute that you can point to. I'm puzzled by it. This wasn't supposed to happen this year. Once they got Ja'Marr Chase in the draft, I was like, okay, they'll just get that generational talent. They'll continue to build out the offensive line, and maybe that's a punt.
31 years without a playoff win. That's their first. Was that their first road playoff win as a franchise?
And Chase had back-to-back 100-yard games. He's the first rookie receiver to do that in the playoffs.
Not enough conversation about how good D. Higgins is, because he'd be a number one at the majority of other NFL teams, I think. And it's just flabbergasting how they're able to do this in spite of an offensive line. And next year, you know, they'll head into an offseason with only one thing that they have to address. Their defense isn't even particularly special either. Yet they're here. And it's a rematch of one of the best regular season games we saw this past season. And I'm not going to write them off.
They beat the Chiefs.
You don't have to write them off, but even understanding that none of us know how to predict these games, did Cowherd take all chalk in these games? Did he take all favorites and would have lost, would have gone 0-4 if not for the miracle in Kansas City? The thing that I would tell you, you tell me if you think I'm wrong about this. It's an oversimplified analysis. You tell me if you think I'm wrong. As we've been spending all season, who's the best team? Who's the best team? Who's the best team? I mean, maybe you can make an argument for Tampa somewhere in here, but don't you feel like you just saw them play last night? The two best.
The two best?
The two. Mm. Don't you feel like we could sit here and do...
Rams are good,
but,
man.
The Rams are good, but don't you... I'm not saying that it's so. I'm saying, did you not feel while watching one of the most memorable games that you've ever seen that what you were watching is, after an extraordinary weekend of football, the two best teams at the end were the ones you want to see keep playing for the rest of time? You want to change the overtime rules? You want to make it the Super Bowl right now? Because that was the last 2 minutes of that was the most fun.
But the Bengals just beat the Chiefs, and it was a very entertaining game. Like, I don't know.
I think I need to see it play out, because like, gun to my head right now, I'm like, San Francisco's the best team.
But Mike, one game's not going to tell you when they can be decided by a bounce. Like, these samples aren't going to tell you. There's nothing. I mean, something could play out. Somebody could blow somebody out, I suppose.
So regardless of what happens the rest of the way, you feel like last night you were watching the two best teams in the NFL. You might be right.
I thought it was special, though. The reason that I thought it was special is because I was saying to myself, as many of you were, neither one of these teams should lose. Like, they don't deserve
to. It felt wrong.
They should keep playing because they seem exceptional at what it is that they're doing, even more precise than all the precision we have seen for the last couple of days. But now I'm off on Sunday instead of Saturday again. Now I'm analyzing the wrong games.
It's tough.
I'll bring it back to Saturday with the San Francisco 49ers because they've been playing playoffs for 3 weeks because they needed to come back from, 17 down at Los Angeles, week 18. That was an unreal comeback. I think based on current form, that's the best team in the NFL.
It's like the baseball thing. What's happening, what usually happens in baseball is happening in football this year where the San Francisco 49ers are just the hottest team. That usually doesn't happen in football.
They're a talented team, but they got healthy too.
They got hot because they got healthy.
Mike, you say healthy, though. I saw their three best players limp off the field in the last minute of the game.
Healthy
I don't know.
Enough to play. They were available. But yeah,
they played the whole game, though.
Look, Warner, who's
my point is, what are they going to look like now that they run into the next...
They'll be warmer.
They've got to do two more of these, and they
don't. It's not even that cold.
There's not a lot of rest. All three of the dudes at the end of the longest regular season we've ever seen, Stugatz. Like, teams are going to be physically broken, and I like the 49ers healthy too, but I can't tell you today whether they're healthy. I saw all three of their guys limp off in the last minute.
It should be noted that Joe Buck thinks that field is plenty cold. Over in Los Angeles.
Well, what is happening here where Jessica says it's not a... You say it hurts to land on the field, and Jessica says everyone knows it's warm.
Let me read you something from the New York Times, Dan. Quote, "The frozen tundra is a myth. The ground at Lambeau Field, legendary home of the Green Bay Packers, is heated. It has not been frozen during a football game since it was dubbed the, quote, frozen tundra more than 40 years ago.
Wow. Hmm. They had that technology 40 years ago?
And that's a Jessica Smetana exclusive. Wow.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.